America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Greetings, conversationalists. How are you? It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. Glad to have you with me. The phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, as always, if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get the show notes, the podcast, the live stream. Get my Instagram feed, the YouTube feed where we're putting all the gathering videos, follow me on social media, all those good things right there. Just text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. I want to talk to you about a non-political, serious subject. For those of you new here, my wife has stage 4 lung cancer. She actually, her scans are on Tuesday. Prayers appreciated. She takes a pill every day. The cancer's not growing. Can't get rid of it, but they've stopped it from growing. It's genetic. So were she, for example, to have a lung transplant, as the new lungs begin generating the cells with her DNA, the cancer would come back. There's just nothing we can do. We have the sword of Damocles overhead. But when this occurred in 2016, when she was diagnosed, she was given 2 years to live. We are now many years removed from that diagnosis. And she did not think that she would be here for our children when they graduated high school. And she finally decided she would do what it took to fight to at least make it to her daughter's high school graduation. And now we're like, you know what? We're in a good place. You might be able to make 3 more years and to our son's graduation. Maybe longer than that. I would love for my wife and I to be able to see our grandkids together if the good Lord's willing. But our daughter goes off to college next week. I can't believe I'm that old. Y'all, I can't believe I'm that old. Like I told you yesterday, I've gotten to the point in my life where if I keep my wallet in my back pocket, my hip hurts. Good Lord. Middle age sucks, and I feel like I'm about entering old age with 50 approaching. Shut up, Philip. But that being said, I am more and more mindful as my daughter goes off to college and my son is home now alone and still engaged in school and in high school, the copious number of people I know who are struggling with mental health and people I know whose kids are struggling with mental health and the families I know whose kids have either lost their lives because of drugs or suicide. There is a disturbing trend in this country of kids committing suicide. And I think all of us are probably in one way or another affected because we probably know people where this has happened. And there's now two bodies of research that have come out. One is very interesting. A study finds that families where there's a lot of laughter, funny parents who make their kids laugh, the kids actually are happier and have less mental health issues. It's a true story. Humor can teach people cognitive flexibility, relieve stress, and promote creative problem solving and resilience, says Dr. Benjamin Levi, professor of pediatrics and humanities at Penn State College of Medicine and senior author of the study in a media release. My father used humor, and it was very effective. I use humor in my clinical practice with my own children. The question became, how does one constructively use humor? The question led Levi and his team to embark on a pilot study to explore people's views on humor as a parenting tool. They surveyed 312 individuals between the ages of 18 and 45, asking about their experiences of being raised with humor and their thoughts on using humor in their own parenting. More than half the participants said that being raised by parents who used humor and an overwhelming majority said they either use or plan to use humor with their own kids. Now, so tangent, I'm going to go completely off on a tangent. Follow me here. Do you know there are people who have no inner monologue? What do I mean by that? When I am quiet and not talking, I'm having a conversation with myself in my head. I'm thinking through things in my head. You do that too, don't you? You're laying in bed at night trying to go to sleep and your head is running through your to-do list for the next day and all that. Do you know there are people who can't do this? This blows my mind. There are people incapable of doing that. They have to speak it. They cannot actually have it in their head. That's wild to me. And I have met one of these people. They are not as common as you and me, but they exist. Very, very uncommon. Concurrent to this in this study, it blows my mind that there are parents who are not funny. My father has one of the funniest senses of humor ever. In fact, I got a text from him in the last hour. My Christmas present to my dad last Christmas was I bought him and me shares in the Green Bay Packers. It's the only publicly traded NFL professional football team. And so my father reminded me as I was blasting NFL owners for grifting off of taxpayers that, I'm an NFL owner. Is that why you ignored me at your gathering? No, actually, no, it's I was busy. He knows that. He was just teasing me. But my dad has a fantastic sense of humor, and my children have fantastic sense of humor. My son wants to be an architect and a stand-up comedian. Well, now he wants to be a pilot too. Those three things. He wants to fly himself to comedy gigs and build buildings. He has a funny sense of humor. Now, in my family, we have a dark sense of humor, and I am appalled at the people who just can't get it. The number of times I'll say something on this program, and someone will email me, "That's not funny. I can't believe you made that joke. How could you pick on that group of people?" Y'all, come on. I mean, some things are just funny, and some of you don't have a sense of humor. Some of you are quick to offend, and I'll tell a joke on here or say something flippant, and I just can't believe you laughed at that. I just can't believe you laughed at that. Shame on you for laughing at that. No. Shame on you for not having a sense of humor or deciding that you must govern what's funny or not. The amount of arrogant people who decide that if they don't find it funny, it must not be funny, those people can walk off a short plank. It is remarkable, though, the people who just don't have a sense of humor. And I'm stunned at the number of people who apparently do not believe they should laugh at, pick on, or tell jokes to their children. It's something, and it turns out it's bad for their kids' mental health. The amount of times I have insulted my children for all sorts of things. Yes, I admit I have called my children the R word. Are you offended by that? I'm sorry, I have. I'm going to cancel myself now. And you know what? They take it in good humor and they give it right back to me. My children have perfected the art of sarcasm. And you know what? Being able to laugh at stuff in our lives with a sword of Damocles hanging over us has done a lot for mental health. But you know what's even more impressive? Do you know which kids are the happiest kids? Another study. It's not the kids whose parents laugh. You know whose kids are the happiest kids? The ones who go to church, and not just any church, but a church where the pastor actually believes what he preaches. I know. People of faith who go into churches, mosques, and synagogues and temples where the preachers, priests and rabbis and imams actually believe the faith are the kids least likely to commit suicide. Why? Because they're the most happy. Now, I want to talk about this from a different angle. Because, you know, I'm an evangelical. I'm a believer. Y'all, I mean, I'll lay it all out there for you. You can tell me I'm an idiot for believing it. Yes. Do I believe there was an Adam and an Eve? Absolutely. Do I believe there was a Noah's Ark and a global flood? Absolutely. Do I believe that there was a tree and forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve ate? Absolutely. Do I believe that the Israelites were the slaves of Egypt and then went to the Promised Land? Absolutely. Do I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, was buried, descended into hell, and on the third day rose again and ascended into heaven and will come to judge the quick and the dead? Absolutely. Believe it all. Absolutely do. Some of you don't. But just consider, what if, for those of you who don't believe, what if religion is an evolutionary response? The people who live the longest, have the healthiest lives, and whose kids are least likely to commit suicide are the ones who believe in a higher power and in eternity. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's an evolutionary response. But it still lines up the same way, that those who do believe live longer. They tend to be in better health later in life. They tend to be happier, and their children tend to commit suicide less. Now think about our present society. We are told on a fairly regular basis that there is no heaven and there is no hell. We can create a hell on earth. We're all going to die in 10 years anyway because of global warming, and there's really nothing you can do about it. Is it any wonder that the people who believe that have the kids with the biggest psychological issues, the biggest stress issues, the biggest depression, and the highest rate of suicide? When mom and dad aren't laughing at you and laughing with you, but telling you we're all going to die because of the evil oil industry, you might want an exit, a quick exit from the planet as well. As opposed to the parents who can laugh it off, not take it too seriously, and also get your kid to church and remind them there's a heaven and a hell, there's a God that you can rely on, all things are possible for those who are called according to his purpose, and yes, he is absolutely going to give you more than you can handle, but he's never going to give you more than he can handle. That's kind of one of the misnomers in pop Christianity, that God will never give you more than you can handle. Actually, that's not true, and that's not in the Bible. God will give you a whole lot more than you can handle in order for you to pass it off to him, because he will give you nothing he can't handle. You can, you know, as the song says, you surrender all, I surrender all. You will be given many things in life that you yourself cannot handle, including potentially a terminal diagnosis. But you know what? He'll never give you anything he can't handle. And that's kind of the point here, is if the kids are grounded in their faith, they more and more understand that God's got this. And those kids who understand this because they've been brought up in a religion that actually believes what their faith says, so not Episcopalian, they actually have a lower rate of suicide, have a lower rate of depression, and have a longer lifespan. Because when they are overwhelmed and burdened, they are reminded God's got this. Maybe it's an evolutionary response. Maybe it's not real. But then it's an evolutionary response. Because how do you, in a world of natural selection, realize that in the natural selection, biologically evolutionary, the people who are being selected to live the longest are the ones who believe in the higher power? Either it's real or it's natural selection, and either way, there's a bias towards believers. And that belief transcends down to kids. It's one reason I've encouraged my daughter when she goes to college. Now, she's not living, she's not going to move out of our city. We're throwing her out. My kid and I, my son and I, we need a pool table, and the only place in the house we could put one is her bedroom, so she's got to move out. She doesn't know that, I mean, we're going to put in a pool table when she's gone. We might get killed by her mom if we attempt it, but nonetheless, he and I, we've been measuring. We want a pool table somewhere in the house. We need a bigger house is what we need. I need to win the lottery so I can buy a bigger house. Nonetheless, when she goes to college and she's on campus, we're trying to push her like, there's a great Reform University Fellowship church group. Be involved. Make friends that way. People who surround yourself with fellow believers. It's just, it's very interesting, whether it's evolution or not, the data points to families who laugh together have better mental health. Families who pray together and worship together have the best mental health. And as you are listening and you have young families and young kids, you might consider taking that stuff seriously so that your kids take it seriously as well, because the data at this point is overwhelming.
He's got the courage to tell you the actual truth, even when it isn't popular. It's the Eric Erickson Show.
join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, there's some encouraging news out there from Frank Luntz and his focus groups about Donald Trump and the way he's playing with a particularly popular segment of communities in the Midwest.
But I assure you that Donald Trump is doing better among the average union member, not teachers' unions and not the unions for government, but everybody else, the trades, the people working their hands. He's doing better among them than any Republican has done in decades. This is not going to be a problem for him. The union leadership is more divided from their membership, and the louder that it gets, the greater the divides are going to come. And in my focus groups, and this is remarkable to me, the union membership says they don't speak for me. And I've been doing this now since 1990. I've never had union people publicly say they don't speak for me.
You know, this is becoming a problem as union leaders in the country become more and more progressive and tied to the Democratic agenda. And union workers more and more, they really do like Donald Trump. There are lots of rumors out there from people about how Trump regrets J.D. Vance as his pick or he's going to fire his top people. I actually don't believe that stuff. I really don't. I think that while I think there were better picks than Vance, Vance is a good pick for union workers and signals to Donald Trump he is one of them, that J.D. Vance and Josh Hawley in Missouri have been greater proponents of unionization and the advance of private sector unions for sometimes they're opposed to public sector unions, but private sector unions, they're fine with it. I also have a hard time believing that Trump actually would toss his campaign managers who guided him where I think he probably is in a better position now to be able to reboot, get some rest and reboot. His economic message will resonate with people. They're highlighting the inflation numbers. I just think that right now there is a level of panic setting in on the Republican side that while I understand it, I also think it might be too soon. Harris has been in this for 3 weeks now. You got the Democratic National Committee next door, Democratic National Convention next week. She gets this honeymoon period. We all knew the press wasn't going to challenge her. But the fundamentals of the race haven't changed because the economic picture of the country, if anything, is getting worse with a recession looming. And you've got union workers in the Midwest are connected to Donald Trump in ways no Republican is connected to him. So I would not be freaked out yet. We've still got over 80 days to go. We've still got more than 30 days before early voting. Now, I got to tell you about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You can get three of them right now for less than $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. You're saving $200, and you clean up the air in your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your rental car. You can plug it in with a USB cord or plug it directly into the wall. It packs a wallop. It's so small you can hold it in your hand, and it just wipes out odors. You got dirty diaper odors in your change-in station? Well, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm can wipe them out. Pet odors, litter box odors, wet dog odors, smoke odors. You've been in a rental car where someone's been smoking. If it's got a USB outlet in the car, you can plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, turn it on, and wipe out those odors. And you don't have a filter subscription. It uses electrostatic plates, so you can just wipe it out on occasion. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric3, E-R-I-C-K, the number 3, no space, Eric3, at EdenPureDeals.com. You get three Eden Pure Thunderstorms. You save $200. You get them for less than $200. You clean out the bad odors in your house. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is Eric3.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I'm going to weave a bunch of things together, but first I would like your attention, please. You know I'm not a big government guy. I rarely take a position of there should be a law, but my fellow Americans, there should be a law restricting the display of Halloween items to at least after Labor Day. because I went into a Kroger just the other day and they were already selling like pumpkin shaped Reese's peanut butter cups. And I was like, y'all, it is just now August. And this was the beginning of August. What the heck is going on here? This is outrageous. I mean, we should still be selling like American flag themed stuff from the 4th of July. And we're going to Halloween already. And you know, when Labor Day rolls around, they're going to start putting the Christmas stuff in. So I get it at like a Hobby Lobby. You got the hobbyists who make the Christmas wreaths and stuff, and they sell the fancy Christmas wreaths, and they got to go to Hobby Lobby, and they got to buy the ornaments and stuff now. But at the local Kroger, you don't need your pumpkin Reese's peanut butter cup yet. It's still summer, people. This is getting to be absurd. We should have a law. It's like you pumpkin spice people. Yes, you people and your pumpkin spice. It's not Labor Day yet. Stop with the pumpkin spice already. Come on. That's all I'm saying. There's a time and place for everything. And August 14th is not time for pumpkin spice lattes and pumpkin-shaped Reese's peanut butter cups. No, no, it is not. And if you think it is, you need to move to a different planet. I'll move on now. Just needed to get that off my chest. It's absolutely absurd. I say this in part because I'm on a group chat right now where someone else has gone to a local grocery store. Oh, my Lord, really? My buddy Buzz just said the Spirit Halloween has already opened up at a mall near him. You know, if Spirit Airlines went out of business, it'd be real easy branding for Spirit Halloween. They could really have like flying Spirit Halloween stores there. All they'd have to do is add one word. Okay, I'm going to move on now. I am intrigued by a thing a friend of mine said. You know, it was the Iranians who hacked Donald Trump's servers. The media, to their credit, they haven't run stories. I'm not going to be surprised to see stories leak from the documents obtained, probably at left-wing sites, as members of the media leak the stories to left-wing sites who will cover the stories that they themselves have decided not to cover. But I have an intriguing thought, and I'm perfectly willing to admit I could be wrong here. The Israelis are preparing to be attacked by Iran. An Iranian attack has not come. It could come at any moment. But Iran, I suspect, wants Kamala Harris in the White House. Kamala Harris has a lot of advisors who hate Israel and are sympathetic to Iran. Remember, to placate those people, she rejected Josh Shapiro. No Jews allowed. You've already got her Jewish husband. You couldn't have a Jewish VP. She's surrounded by people who hate Israel. She's surrounded by people who are sympathetic to Iran. What if an Iranian attack doesn't happen because they're afraid it could provoke more rioting at the Democratic National Convention next week? Have you all thought about this? I realize this is Eric Erickson, anti-conspiracy theory, critic of conspiracists, going down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole, but it does seem odd to me. Now, again, an attack from Iran could come at any moment. American and Israeli intelligence have both realized that they are putting themselves in position to attack. They have rolled missiles from out of caves. They've positioned them to launch. An attack could be coming as I'm speaking. I don't know. But the Democrats are worried about the anti-Semitic rioters next week. The data seems to suggest the Iranians hacked Donald Trump to undermine Donald Trump. There is a clear Iranian preference for Kamala Harris in the White House. So what if Iran doesn't attack Israel until after the Democratic National Convention, if at all, because Iran does not want to provoke massive discord and rioting at the Democratic National Convention? I'm just throwing that out there. It really wouldn't surprise me. Now, again, I suspect an Iranian attack is coming at any minute. It is a dangerous situation. The Iranians want to hit Israel, and they don't want to look weak, and they're coordinating with Hezbollah. Now, the Wall Street Journal is reporting this right now. As Israel braces for an attack from Iran and its ally Hezbollah, there is a debate here in Israel over whether now is the right time for the country to launch an offensive attack against the Lebanese militia or try to de-escalate to avoid triggering a wider regional war. The U.S. has been working feverishly behind the scenes to avoid an escalation that could lead to a regional war. The Biden administration is expected to send a senior delegation to the region this week to work on that effort. Inside Israel, there is a split. Some, like Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, said now is the time for a ceasefire in Gaza that would see the release of hostages and help calm tensions on the northern border so the thousands of Israelis displaced there can return home. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he doesn't want a war but has promised a heavy price in response to an attack. But there's also a growing number of current and former security officials, as well as politicians from the center, right, and far right, who think the timing could be ripe for Israel to take an offensive approach with Hezbollah, which has massed more than 100,000 rockets, missiles, drones, and other projectiles along Israel's northern border. The leadership of Israel's Northern Command, the military branch responsible for defending the border with Lebanon, is pushing for a more aggressive approach against Hezbollah than Israel has taken during the current war. One senior security official said a disproportionate response by Hezbollah could lead to an Israeli attack that will lead to a new reality on the northern border. Amos Yadlin, a former intelligence official and president of Mind Israel, a national security consulting firm, said a diplomatic deal, while preferable, is unlikely at this point. Strategically, he thinks Israel should wait until after a Hezbollah attack so it has the justification needed to launch a swift and strong campaign that can cripple the group in a matter of days or weeks while enjoying U.S. support. Enough is enough, said Yedlin. Since Hamas is basically destroyed, it's time to move north. Within Netanyahu's cabinet, far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has been calling for a war with Hezbollah, as have members of Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party. Even centrist politicians like National Unity Party Chairman Benny Gantz has called for Israel to strike Lebanese infrastructure, an offensive move that's likely to start a war. A war between Israel and Hezbollah has long been considered inevitable, so it's just a question of timing. I'm going to stop there from the Wall Street Journal and just say, if Hezbollah and Iran attack, Israel could engage in a disproportionate response. That disproportionate response would come with American support because Israel did not attack first. But what if Iran has made the political calculation that Kamala Harris could very well win this thing? And the worst thing for Iran is Donald Trump in the White House. So it would be better for Iran to not attack and provoke riots at the Democratic National Convention next week, because the Democrats are already concerned about potential rioting next week. They're already concerned about the massive array of protesters who are already saying they're going to show up next week. A large contingent of anti-Semites who are progressive activists intend to show up in Chicago. And of course, the mayor in Chicago is on the side of the protesters and the anti-Semites. We've been waiting for this attack since last week. The satellite security footage we know that's been leaked out of the White House and out of Israel has shown Iran moving missiles into place. What if they wait so that they don't interfere with the Democratic Convention? Because you know what's going to happen. If Iran responds, there's going to be cheering in the American streets from progressive Harris supporters. And if Israel responds aggressively, they're going to respond aggressively with the American military at their side. And that's going to provoke the anti-Semites to riot in the streets of America. In Los Angeles, in the year of our Lord, 2024, Jewish students are being blocked from access to buildings on college campuses. And that's before Iran and Israel start firing shots at each other. And we know In fact, it's been confirmed by the director of Central Intelligence that Iran is funding these anti-Semitic protests. So I'd just keep my eye on that if I were you. I would question whether or not Iran may be pulling their punches until after the Democratic Convention to contain the violence, because Iran has a dog in the fight. You know it, and I know it. Even the Democrats know it, and the Democrats don't want to admit it publicly, but privately they understand that Iran wants Kamala Harris in the White House, because if Donald Trump is in the White House, well, you saw what happened to Qasem Soleimani. The worst thing Iran could do would be to launch an attack before the Democratic National Convention, have Israel respond disproportionately with American help, and risk all-out street fighting in Chicago as Kamala Harris tries to become the Democratic nominee. Iran tends to be a savvy operator. They have infested the Biden administration with a bunch of anti-Semites. They have completely infested the Biden administration with a bunch of pro-Iran anti-Semites who have been leaking intelligence back to Iran. This has been uncovered. This has been documented, not by the partisan press, but by CB4, which is of the left. If they're that politically savvy enough to be able to infest the Biden administration with Iranian sympathizers reporting back to Iran, they should be politically savvy enough to understand what would happen if they struck Israel in the run-up to the Democratic National Convention. Here's the other thing. What if they do strike Iran after the Democratic National Convention? That, again, to me, would be a signal that they withheld their punch to avoid giving Kamala Harris a black eye in Chicago with street fighting and riots. It would be a signal that Iran is invested in the American political presidential campaign in a way we haven't seen them be invested in before. And Jewish voters would need to take note of that. I don't know when an Iranian attack is coming. The American military has rushed a second carrier group into the area and an attack submarine because they believe an attack is imminent. The Israelis have escalated their military presence and prepared for an Iranian attack. They all believe an Iranian attack is present and coming. When does it come? If it comes before the Democratic National Convention, it's probably going to provoke violence at the Democratic National Convention. And if it comes after, that's my interpretation of that would have to be that Iran is invested in Kamala Harris's election and they did not want to disrupt it by provoking riots, because remember, they've been funding all this stuff and they knew they had to wait on their attack. I just think this all comes back to Harris. And what do the Iranians want? Maybe they don't care. If they don't care, they're going to attack pretty soon. But if they care enough to hack Donald Trump's servers and try to smear Donald Trump to help Kamala Harris, I would imagine they don't want to attack in the run-up to the Democratic National Convention. We'll find out whenever they attack, if they do at all. Now, I want to tell you about Old Glory Bank, because they are my bank, and Old Glory Bank also does, I mean, loans, mortgages, car loans, you name it. They have no interest, no fee checking and savings. They have great interest rates on their savings accounts. They have for fee savings and checking accounts as well, for businesses, things like that. And they're by conservatives for conservatives. So if you're a conservative gun store, you know you've been harassed by a lot of regional and national banks. If you use Old Glory Bank as your bank, you never have to worry about being canceled. You never have to worry about it, because Old Glory Bank is by conservatives for conservatives. They're opposed to the bank cancellation trends that the left is pushing, and they're good people. I mean, it's John Rich, Ben Carson, Larry Elder, people like that. But also, if you want a great bank for yourself, I use Old Glory Bank. In fact, I have been a customer of theirs before I was an advertiser. And in fact, I've enjoyed them so much, had an investment opportunity to invest in the bank. I've invested in them. That's how much I think so highly of this bank and the people who run it. They're good people. They've got great financial heads on their shoulders, and they've done something really innovative with Old Glory Bank. Cannot recommend it enough for you or your kids. They have a great way to deposit cash into the online bank as well. OldGloryBank.com. You can get an account. It takes like 5-6 minutes. Fill out the forms. You get your account up and going. The app is great. The debit card is great. OldGloryBank.com. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply. No fee checking, no fee savings. Great for you. Great for your kids. Custodial accounts are a thing with them. OldGloryBank.com.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson. We got J.D. Vance out on the campaign trail as well today. This is him a short time ago.
Eric, remember, this is the woman who voted to preserve NAFTA, to extend NAFTA, the very trade deal that sent American auto jobs to Mexico by the tens of thousands and turned American dreams into nightmares. She supported these EV mandates that taxed you, took your money, and sent it to electric vehicles that are made in China instead of made right here in the state of Michigan, destroying thousands of Michigan auto jobs in the process. And it's not just the car jobs themselves. Y'all know this. It's the carburetors. It's the transmissions. It's the people who are making the components. They are the ones who suffer when Kamala Harris sends your tax dollars to Chinese-made cars. Well, Kamala Harris now is standing here in Michigan asking us for a promotion. I think it's time to say to Kamala Harris, no thank you. You are fired.
I gotta say, he's really good on the stump. He's focused and disciplined and has a message on the stump. This is a little more from this speech.
Under Kamala Harris, gas prices are up 50%. And I know we're a trucking company. You think truckers benefit when gas prices go up 50%? No. And neither do the people who depend on truckers, which is every single one of us. Housing costs have doubled. Grocery prices are up 21%. A record number of Americans are working multiple jobs. And I happen to believe in a simple principle that if you work hard and play by the rules, you ought to be able to afford a good life in the country your parents and grandparents built. Isn't that simple? Now, the housing market is the least affordable it's ever been. Mortgage rates have doubled, and that's thanks to Kamala Harris' spending policies. The average new car costs nearly $50,000 a year. And this November, my friends, we're going to send the message that Michigan chooses prosperity over poverty, and that we will never accept four more years of Kamala Harris. She's out of there.
He's good on the stump. You know, a listener emailed me earlier, and he said in his email something I've said on radio in the past, that I wonder if we're rapidly headed towards the Cubanization of our auto industry. And he thinks we are. If you go to Cuba, they have a ton of really old cars that they continue to repair and fix up. In this country, as the government interference in your cars gets worse and worse, I think more people are going to buy older cars. A lot of old F-150s out there on the road being rebuilt. And have you seen the rebuilding? There's a guy, the vintage Bronco guy. My gosh, they're way outside my price range. But there's a guy who rebuilds Broncos, classic Broncos, and they're gorgeous. I mean, they are works of art. My wife and I both were like, one day. They're amazing vehicles, but they're refurbished Broncos. And people, I think, are going to start buying more and more older cars, used cars, because they don't want the auto start. They don't want the breathalyzer. They don't want the kill switch. They don't want the tire deflation detector that comes on for no reason. They don't want that stuff. They just want a cheap car. And as the government mandates the stuff in cars, they get more and more expensive for the average consumer. It's a war on the consumer. Of course, they want you in public transportation. They don't want you in a car anyway. All right. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. You guys have a great rest of the day.